This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Ultimate HA7 Joint Formula from Purity Products. Ultimate HA7 features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin. It's powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissues. So call 800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9. And you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. Pretty cool. We nailed down that domain, radioprogram at AOL.com. Pretty easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And you can send questions related to nutrition, related to vitamin supplements, all manner of health practices. If you've got a simple question about a medical condition, you know, perhaps we can give you some insights into how you might take it further. With me today, Layla Mudin, who is our nutritionist in residence. We practice together at our location in Manhattan. Layla, in case you're not familiar with her, is a registered dietitian. She has a master's degree in the field of nutrition. And so, how you doing, Layla?
All right, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Okay, so we have a whole bunch of questions.
Yes.
But before we do that, I want to tackle a subject that has come up in the... It's a big nutritional controversy.
Uh-huh.
And it is around the theme of... Get ready for this. Drum roll, please. Keto crotch.
Keto crotch.
Yeah, keto crotch. Now, I actually, when I first heard about... the stories, and there's many stories about this, and I'll get into this in just a few minutes. This phenomenon of keto crotch, which is this notion that if you, you know, the very popular keto diet, if you get on the keto diet, your nether regions are not going to smell that good. They're going to be odoriferous.
Not just your breath,
but your, you know, certain part of your anatomy. Yeah. So when I first saw this story, I said, this is definitely not for Intelligent Medicine. I'm just going to let this one go. It's clickbait.
Yeah.
I'm going to avoid this. I'm not going to address this.
Uh-huh.
Or I had another thought. I thought, you know, maybe we can create a special premium edition of, or a premium subscription to Intelligent Medicine, which has X-rated content. You know, it's like, everything else is free, but if you pay an extra $19.95 a month, you'll get like the X-rated content.
Right. You know. Keto crotch. Can't stop saying it.
Okay. Yeah, but it's catchy. It's catchy.
It is.
And it's not, you know, it's not something that I wanted to do originally, but you know, I've got to address it because actually, there's something fishy about this story.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it stinks to high heaven. And I'm gonna get into it a little bit. Okay, so first of all, this story just hit like a bombshell, and I'm gonna read you some of these headlines.
Yeah.
And many of the headlines are from these kind of like marginal, you know, websites and blogs with names like Body and Soul Australia. With this headline, "Keto crotch is the latest icky side effect of going on a low carb diet." There's another one that's called, the website is Mama Mia. "My junk is funky. Keto crotch is another excellent reason not to cut out carbs." And Yahoo Lifestyle, "Keto crotch might actually make you rethink a low carb diet." And there are innumerable posts in places like Barstool Sports, Jezebel Magazine, Vice. Vice, "Your meat-heavy diet might be giving you keto crotch." And they're all appearing during the interval of February 25th through March 4th.
Wow.
And so what that suggests to me, I'm looking at this, and it's like, This sounds like a viral campaign that may have been started by a public relations agency.
Oh.
And this is not an original thought, but okay. Some guy came up with this. It's very interesting. He is on Twitter, mm-hmm. and he actually put together this, I think, very plausible theory. I'm going to give him credit. His name is John Sahorik, mm-hmm. and he says the most expensive part of the operation was the paid media part, 28 unique quote articles. This is the quotation marks, mm-hmm. The Dr. Evil quotation marks, these quote articles released between 2/25/19 and 3/4/19 and ongoing, mm-hmm. on all levels of media with hundreds of millions of eyeballs. And he says, geez, look at these headlines. Whoever did this has no shame. Mm. And so, when you look at a phenomenon in the news, mm-hmm. you ask the question, the Latin term is qui bono, who benefits?
Uh-huh.
And who benefits from this? Well, the theory is, and it is not corroborated, and we have no smoking gun on this,
but okay.
Weight Watchers recently took a huge hit in their stock.
They did.
They went down like enormous amounts of their valuation. They were like 80, now they're 20. Oprah Winfrey, who's heavily invested in that, she has like 10% of that company.
Yeah.
She lost like between $35 and $45 million in stock valuation.
Mm-hmm.
So Weight Watchers is keto is killing Weight Watchers as a popular diet. Also, other entities like Barilla Pasta, they're trying to sell it. And, Cinnabon, you can imagine, all of these places and the pastry shops, the chains that are now like Kaiser, Maison Kaiser and stuff that are popping up all over in metropolitan areas. They're mm-hmm. selling people basically croissants.
Yeah.
And so with keto is really killing it. And guess who is the target audience for dieting? Mm. Women.
Women, yes.
Women, predominantly. Yes. Mm-hmm. So what a brilliant idea. How do you poison the well for the keto diet? You say, you're killing
keto crotch.
Keto crotch. So let's look just for a minute. I mean, this is a big digression, but let's take a look at the plausibility of that, okay?
Yeah.
Because I read a bunch of articles, and what they did is they actually interviewed gynecologists, and the mm-hmm. gynecologist said, well, the science for this is really not there. It's like, how do you change your vaginal flora? Because essentially, it's the bacteria that govern the odor qualities of your body.
Yes.
It's your microbiome. Your skin microbiome.
Yes.
Which, actually has signaling capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. Because, we use pheromones as attractants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But so, is there really something to it? And most of them said, well, it mostly has to do with pH, and mm-hmm. diet doesn't really affect bodily pH that much, they're saying. So, you're going from like an alkaline sweat to a acidic sweat, and it was going to change the bacteria, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do know, as you mentioned, changes occur in odor.
Yes.
When you go into ketosis.
Yeah. Fruity breath.
But it's not like a funky breath. It's not like bad breath.
No, not really.
It's fruity. It's acetone.
Yes. Yeah. It's more like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you also have experience with the Atkins Center. They often impugned the Atkins diet by saying, oh yeah, you want like constipation and bad breath. Yeah, go on that diet because that's like, it's going to make you smell bad.
Well, the constipation can happen, but that can be remedied with some magnesium
Take some more plant fiber. Have lots of salad and vegetables. Atkins didn't say don't have vegetables.
Right.
Not starchy vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't think that's real. So I did a little research.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered some studies that have been done on the smell of sweat and its attractiveness.
Mm, okay.
So I came up with an article. It's a 2006 article done in the Czech Republic. The effect of meat consumption on body odor attractiveness.
Oh.
Now, they didn't use, in this study, it's very interesting, the Department of Anthropology at Charles University in Prague, which is a big university.
Love anthropology.
So they did this study, and what they did is they recruited odor donors who were men.
Odor donors.
They were odor donors. They were young men.
You just saw me lift my arm right there.
Yep, the older donors. And they're 17 male students, and they gave them a diet protocol. There are two different diets. One was a diet which was heavy in meat. They had a 100-gram red meat dish for each main course.
Mm,
and then they switched, and they went to a non-meat, you know, like a vegetarian diet. They were also told to refrain from using perfumes, deodorants, antiperspirants, aftershave, shower gels, and or eating meals containing garlic, onion, chili, pepper, vinegar, blue cheese, cabbage, radish, fermented milk products, and marinated fish.
Yep.
And we know that choline it can be an agent that, for some people, they have a genetic propensity to smell bad when they have a lot of choline. Hmm. So there's something to that. There's choline. Like, you know, it's a component in fish.
Yes.
And in soy. And it,
egg yolks.
And in some people, genetically, it's a rare genetic thing where they have a smelly body around that. So that's known. So they told them don't eat those things. So then they had the women testers.
Mm-hmm.
32 female students averaged 23.3 years of age. You sound like grad students, right? Took part in the study. So what the men wore, they follow the diet for 14 days. Mm-hmm. And on day 14, they applied cotton pads to their armpits and wore them for 24 hours.
Okay.
They very specific
to soak
instructions.
Up the sweat.
The odor instructor, the odor donors fixed their cotton pads to both armpits by using 3M micropore surgical tape.
And wore them,
very standard scientific procedure.
Uh-huh.
So then they took those pads that were, you know, impregnated with the sweat of the men, you know, before and after the meat. And they then gave them to the women judges. And they rated the pads. You can imagine what this was like. The stimuli were rated on a 7-point scale for, number one, their intensity, number two, their pleasantness, number three, their sexual attractiveness, and number four, their masculinity.
Okay.
And what they discovered, interestingly, was none of the tests reached formal levels of statistical significance. In other words, you know, you got to have a certain robustness of difference to make it in a scientific study.
Now, small sample size?
Yeah, small sample size, not big differences.
Yeah.
So it never reached statistical significance. So you could conclude there was no difference, but there was a trend.
Oh.
So you can sometimes report on a trend even if it doesn't reach statistical significance. Odors from individuals in the non-meat condition were rated as more pleasant, attractive, and less intense.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So it doesn't...
I can smell that. Okay.
Okay, you can... So there is a difference. Now, why would there be a difference? They speculate. Well, first of all, is that the sebaceous glands, which are secrete oil to the skin, are concentrated in the armpits and in the crotch, but by no means just there, everywhere. You know, the face, the sebaceous glands. They actually act as a food, as a nutritional source for the bacteria that live on your skin or colonize your armpits or your crotch. By the way, different bacteria in different parts of the body.
Yes.
You know, the different populations.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that maybe the fats in the meat or the proteins change the composition of the sweat or the apocrine oily secretions, the sebaceous secretions. And then change the composition of the bacteria slightly.
Wow.
Now, this doesn't speak to the issue of whether there's such a thing as keto crunch.
Hmm.
But what I think, it's written to me, a very plausible theory that this is a PR coup that was launched by people trying to push back on the keto diet and trying to impugn it.
That is plausible.
Interesting. Huh?
And what a catchy phrase, keto crunch. Oh,
and some guy is getting, you know, some guy or gal is getting like a bonus at, you know, some big public relations agency for launching this campaign because it became so viral. It got picked up everywhere. But it's also possible these journalists got, they got approached, they got pitched. And could they have gotten paid off to write articles? Yes, they have paid writers. They have paid writers.
Yeah.
They have writers. These people, and these people don't make a lot of money, and they're very happy to accept it. Hey, great, you want to write an article on this? But this is all cloaked in secrecy. I'm waiting for the smoking gun. You know, the actual, you know, like the Watergate, you know, tapes or the Mueller probe
exactly.
Memo that you know is the ultimate conclusive link that's going to show collusion, keto crotch collusion,
PR stunt for keto crotch.
So I thought I would offer this perspective on keto crotch. To me, it's not a big. To me, it's not a big pushback on the keto phenomenon, and it's not the real deal.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting because we sweat everywhere. So that sweat, if it's different on a meat-heavy diet, we sweat down in the groin too.
Yep.
So it's, that kind of interesting stuff.
Yep.
Keto crotch.
You know, wear cotton underwear. Avoid those, tight-fitting.
Yeah, exactly. And, bathe. It's a good idea.
Avoid the tight-fitting athleisure. That's probably a better idea than the keto crotch concept.
Right.
When you do keto, don't wear athleisure
and don't wear tight-fitting blue jeans.
Yeah, right.
You might pinch a nerve as well.
Right.
So don't do anything like that.
Okay, back to the prosaic reality of our questions.
Oh my gosh. This comes from Michael. Greetings, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Have you recommended Atrantil for patients who have symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome or SIBO? I was impressed with your interview with Dr. Brown, who formulated it and have experienced symptom improvement with its use in conjunction with a modified specific carbohydrate diet.
Right.
Thank you for enlightening millions on matters of health and the latest research, Michael. Thank you, Michael, for your email. Yeah, specific carbohydrate diet, I would think, might be the ultimate diet for SIBO, especially SIBO that just won't quit.
It's designed
intractable
to,
SIBO.
We had a patient with whom we were recommending that diet for this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is SIBO? Small intestine bacterial overgrowth. We think it's implicated in gas, bloating, diarrhea, IBS with a diarrhea predominance, urgency. And we're now testing for it. In fact, I'm going to interview one of the foremost experts on that type of testing in one of our upcoming podcasts soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to that. It's a hydrogen breath test, and you basically take a challenge and you breathe in a bag, and it tells you if you have a likelihood of SIBO. Different couple types of SIBO. There's a hydrogen type and there's a methane predominant type.
Yeah.
And they result in different symptoms, and they require different treatments. So, typically we treat this with the diet. We also use berberine and oregano and certain herbs.
Things found in Candibacter,
sometimes
VR and
biocidin,
AR.
Sometimes a concentrated medicinal form of garlic.
Alamax.
But Atrantil is interesting. I have to say, I really should experiment more with Atrantil.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great interview. I thought that Dr. Brown was very plausible. The ingredients in Atrantil are, there's no, I think he's patented it, but it's not like a secret. It's horse chestnut, peppermint. Horse chestnut we use for vascular problems,
for
veins. It's actually been proven, but it's got some astringent characteristics that may suppress bacteria. Peppermint is antibacterial, antispasmodic, which is good.
Yeah.
But the secret ingredient is something called quebracho.
Quebracho.
Yeah, which I've never heard of. And the way that this guy got onto it, he says it's used, they feed it to livestock to reduce livestock flatulence.
Oh my.
Okay.
Oh, could this be the answer for the Green New Deal? Sorry. Since we're worried now about cow farts.
So you mean we don't have to stop eating meat. We can just feed
the
animals.
We can just feed the animals.
Atrantil. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
We can send AOC some information about that. Maybe she'd modify her position on Green New Deal. But anyway, I think it's really plausible. We do have any clinical experience on that?
No, I don't.
I'd like to hear from listeners because we did the podcast. Evidently, some listeners may have purchased the product, and I want to hear their experiences.
Yeah.
They may have field tested it.
Yeah.
And yay or nay, was it beneficial for your IBS symptoms or your gas and bloating?
So Michael has experienced some symptom improvement in conjunction with the specific carbohydrate diet.
Which is doing
it. We don't know exactly.
What is interesting about my conversation with Dr. Brown is he kind of, as many gastroenterologists do, because he's a conventional gastroenterologist. He said, well, you know, such a difficult diet to do. You know, he says, yeah, you can do the diet, but really the thing to do is the etrantol. See, our emphasis being nutritionally oriented physicians is the diet, the diet, the diet.
Right.
And we have a lot of buy-in from our patients. He probably, you know, when he pitches this diet to his typical patients, they say, what, are you kidding?
Are you kidding? I'm not going to stop eating bread.
Bread, and, you know, I'm going to, you know, forget it. I can't do this.
Right.
So, okay, take the etrantol.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. Michael, thank you for this very thoughtful email. We are glad that you're experiencing improvement in your symptoms. All right, great.
And just the website is atrantil.com, A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L.com.
Yes. We have an email from Judy. Hello from cold South Dakota. Brr. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm so an active 62.
I'm thinking Fargo.
Fargo, right, right.
Yeah, you betcha.
I'm an active 62-year-old female. 5'9", I weigh 140 pounds. It's very good, Julie. I do strength training at least 3 times a week. I like to walk for aerobics. I was recently diagnosed with moderate degenerative arthritis of the left hip, and I have some osteopenia. I do have some pain in my left hip, especially after my daily walk at the gym. And I was wondering what you recommend to keep up, to keep any of these bone and joint problems from getting worse. I'm taking MK7, I'm taking vitamin D, I'm taking magnesium taurate. Yes, for the osteopenia and all that. But what about this left hip joint pain?
Well, you know, curcumin, fish oil.
Degenerative arthritis.
Lately, we've been talking about HA, hyaluronic acid. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Purity have an HA7 product that's helpful. It also incorporates some boswellin. Mm-hmm. You can take boswellin separately for an additional boost if you want. Undenatured collagen type 2 might be helpful for arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things. Fish oil,
certainly. These are some of the things, yes.
And then what about from a dietary standpoint? Do you think there's a diet for osteoarthritis?
Well, for osteoarthritis, the first thing I would do is look for any food allergies, intolerances, things of that nature. But right away, the nightshade family of vegetables should really go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you undertake eliminating the nightshades, Julie, and I'm going to name what they are in a moment, you have to do this for 2 to 3 months solidly,
mm-hmm.
not even a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So what am I talking about? The nightshades are tomatoes, peppers of all sorts, mm-hmm. green, red, yellow bell peppers, hot peppers, chilies, cayenne, paprika, hot sauce, all of that is gone. Potatoes, white potatoes, not sweet potatoes, not yams, but white potatoes, and eggplant.
Yeah.
So you have to discard them completely from the diet for a solid 2 to 3 months.
We've seen a few cases really respond to that.
Yeah, yeah. And on the other hand, I've seen cases where I've had patients who have been who are arthritic but have been nightshade free for 30 years and no arthritis symptoms, but inadvertently got a little tomato sauce somewhere in a soup or in a restaurant or something. And the arthritis comes roaring back.
Interesting.
And it takes several weeks to subside again.
Wow. You get an attack.
That inflammation didn't happen overnight. It's not going to go away overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. But yes, the fish oil, curcumin, boswellin, maybe some glucosamine chondroitin might be helpful.
Yeah, and we're not
MSM.
Averse to glucosamine chondroitin, you know.
Any of those.
Yeah.
Because we want Julie to remain active. And I
attribute my good joints, you know, at 66 to just very religious and judicious use of glucosamine chondroitin. Remember Jason Theodosakis?
Yes.
I just got an email from
Dr.
him.
Dr. Theos,
he says, your name came up, and he says, let's get together, let's talk. And he's out in Arizona, so, I'll probably just, you know, talk to him over the phone. But, you know, I'd like to offer him a thank you for making us aware of the benefits of glucosamine chondroitin. Because, I don't know, I've really done a lot of pounding the pavement. And, you know, I have to say, knock wood.
Yeah.
My knees, you know, are holding out.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
The other thing I would recommend is broths, bone broths. You get the collagen and all of that.
Right.
Very good for cartilage, joint tissue, all of that.
Yeah, you worry about the lead in some of the broths.
You want to source it well. You want to be able to source it well. Organic sources, your natural foods butcher, that kind of thing.
I got the crock pot going.
When
I eat a chicken, it's like, okay, I put it in. When I'm done, I just put the bones in, throw the bones in the crock pot. And then I have a broth base for soup. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess pure broth, okay, occasionally, but I like to use a soup base.
You could use it to cook vegetables. Vegetables are wonderful cooked in broth.
If you're looking to flavor them, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just plain broccoli that's steamed. Mm-hmm. Steam them in broth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it damage the broth to do that? No.
No. No. No. Not at all. And have a mug of this bone broth on a daily basis. Replace one of your cups of tea or coffee with that.
Good for gut healing, too.
Good for gut healing. Mm. Start your dinner with a bowl of that consommé.
You'll eat less.
Or something. You'll eat less, too, when you start with the soup.
Right.
Actually, that works.
Don't go for the real high-calorie value part of the meal. One meal strategy is to have a salad or have a broth before you eat, and it'll provide you with some satiety.
Absolutely.
And then you won't just be chowing down as much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Julie, thank you for that. Best of luck to you. Keep taking your vitamin K, your vitamin D, your magnesium. All of that is good. All right. Thank you.
Well, you know, we are at the point where we have to say, get ready for side two.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, give us a time flies when you're having fun.
Are we going to talk any more about Keto Crunch?
No, we're done.
I just wanted to say Keto Crunch. I'm sorry.
We're done. Okay.
We have in part two, is there an effective natural way to eradicate a fungus that causes jock itch without taking drugs?
Well, you know, that's along the lines of
Keto Crunch. And it's creeping back up again. Okay. So here we go in part two.
Just can't get away from Keto Crunch. Okay, so we're going to come back revisiting Keto Crunch, in this case, jock itch.
Jock itch.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back with more.